We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Markets take a tumble amid concerns about economic growth. And the Biden administration pins the blame for the Microsoft email cyber attack on hackers tied to China's intelligence service.
This is really a sort of global effort to not only blame China for this specific hack that caused a lot of damage earlier this year, but to broadly condemn Beijing for its years of hacking activity.
Plus, the never-ending work check-in, why meeting burnout could get worse. It's Monday, July 19th. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. U.S. stocks sank as concerns about a global resurgence of COVID-19 sent investors to the safety of government bonds. The Dow Jones Industrials fell 725 points, or more than 2%. The S&P 500 dropped 1.5%, and the NASDAQ Composite lost just over 1%. Our markets reporter, Alexander Osipovich, has more on today's sell-off.
Fears have really intensified over the past few days over the Delta variant. It is spreading. A lot of places and countries where vaccination rates are low, cases are up a lot, and there's this threat that lockdowns will come back and that we'll see a similar sort of slowdown of economic activity like we did last year with the pandemic. And that is denting this narrative of economic recovery that sent the stock market way up so far this year. One interesting thing about today's sell-off is that a lot of the companies doing badly are the ones you would expect to do badly if the pandemic came back full force. Airlines, cruise operators, energy companies that sell oil that we use to make gas in order to travel. And the companies that are doing well are the ones that do all right under lockdown. Etsy was up today. Supermarket chains like Kroger are doing all right.
The maker of trading app Robinhood expects its upcoming initial public offering to give it a market value of about $33 billion. That's less than the $40 billion it previously anticipated. Millions of individual investors flocked to Robinhood this year to ride the rally in meme stocks. But Robinhood's revenue growth is decelerating. It reported a decline in recent stock trading activity from a year ago. The pandemic-driven economic recession last year turned out to be just 2 months long, making it the shortest recession on record. According to the National Bureau of Economic Research, the U.S. officially climbed out of a recession in April 2020, concluding an economic contraction that began in February. Attorney General Merrick Garland today sharply limited federal prosecutors' ability to obtain records of reporters' contacts when investigating government leaks of sensitive information. In a memo to federal prosecutors, Garland said the agency's prior policies hadn't properly weighed the national interest in protecting journalists from forced disclosure of their sources. This comes after recent revelations that the Justice Department under former President Donald Trump secretly sought and obtained phone records from reporters at major news organizations while trying to identify their sources. We report exclusively the U.S. is considering tighter sanctions on Iranian oil sales to China if nuclear talks fail. U.S. negotiators have been working with European and other international partners in Vienna since April to revive the 2015 deal that limits Iran's nuclear program in exchange for an easing of broad sanctions. The talks have faltered, and the U.S. is running through options intended to induce Iran to keep negotiating or punish it if it doesn't. And an alternate on the U.S. Olympic women's gymnastics team tested positive for COVID-19 while in Japan on Sunday, according to team officials. The gymnast and one other additional alternate have been put into quarantine. As we talked about this morning, officials are concerned about a growing number of COVID cases among Olympic athletes and officials ahead of the Games opening this week. The latest case is raising anxiety around one of the most closely watched teams at the Games. The U.S. women, led by superstar Simone Biles, are the strong favorites to take a third consecutive gymnastics team gold medal. Coming up, the Biden administration points the finger at China for the cyber attack on Microsoft Exchange. what that says about Biden's overall approach to China. That's after the break.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Biden administration and several U.S. allies today blamed hackers tied to China's main intelligence service for a cyber attack on Microsoft's email software earlier this year. It was the White House's first public attribution for the attack, which rendered hundreds of thousands of mostly small businesses and organizations vulnerable to cyber intrusion. In addition, the Justice Department made public an indictment against four Chinese nationals in a separate hacking campaign. For more on this, we're joined by our cybersecurity reporter, Dustin Volz, who joins us from Washington. Dustin, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here, Charlie. Thanks.
Dustin, bring us up to speed on this attack on Microsoft's Exchange email server. We already knew Microsoft blamed China-based hackers for this back in March. So what new information did we get from the Biden administration today? And what's been the response?
So the Biden administration had previously highlighted the Microsoft Exchange server hack as one of serious concern, but until now, they had not said who was responsible. In blaming China for this today, they are aligning with Microsoft and other private cybersecurity researchers in the attribution. But it's also very significant that they have a lot of others going along with them. So the United Kingdom is also saying that Microsoft was hacked by China, and the European Union has also joined them as well. So this is really a sort of global effort to not only blame China for this specific hack that caused a lot of damage earlier this year, but to broadly condemn Beijing for its years of hacking activity that have repeatedly created problems for Western governments and corporations alike.
Well, did the White House drill down into specifics about the hack beyond what Microsoft said back in March?
Yes. So the Biden administration said specifically that the hackers behind the Exchange server hack were affiliated with the Ministry of State Security. This is essentially the main or central intelligence service in China. And by doing that, you know, this is really laying the blame directly on China's government. They are a little vague in terms of describing specifically who was involved and exactly what knowledge the MSS or other parts of the People's Republic of China had in this attack. But they're making clear that at the very least, China is harboring these hackers and tolerating it, and that in fact, those carrying it out are not just rogue criminals, but in fact, hackers that do work on behalf of China's main intelligence service.
And you write in your story that experts said that this announcement was long overdue, in effect saying to the Biden administration, what took you so long?
There's been a lot of criticism sort of that compared to Russia, the SolarWinds attack and some other activity that Russia engaged in, you know, the Biden administration responded rather swiftly there and with a suite of punitive measures, including, you know, diplomatic expulsions and sanctions. And for months now, there's been a lot of asking, you know, when is the Biden administration going to do something on this Microsoft hack, which a lot of, you know, experts said was actually in some ways far more concerning and far more reckless than sort of what we saw Russia do with the SolarWinds breach that was disclosed last December. You know, but it is a tricky thing to not only definitively attribute cyber campaigns to foreign countries, but it also is a lot of diplomatic work to get a lot of countries on board. And so the Biden administration wanted to highlight very much that today's actions, you know, include dozens of countries coming out and saying Beijing is engaging in malicious cyber activity and this needs to stop. And that's not just the U.S. and the United Kingdom, but Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which represents 30 nations. So this is sort of the biggest, broadest international condemnation we've seen yet on China's hacking activity across the globe. And that is certainly very significant.
Dustin, could you talk about this separate indictment by the Justice Department against the Chinese nationals? What are they accused of?
So this indictment was actually delivered by a grand jury in May, but we're just now seeing it publicly disclosed. And it's sort of for a range of hacking activity going back at least a decade to 2011. And it sort of runs the gamut and says that, you know, three Chinese intelligence officers and a fourth Chinese national who was working with them, you know, engaged in a series of cyber attacks against businesses and universities across the world, and including in the United States, to steal sensitive technology that was going to benefit Chinese companies and the Chinese state. We've seen indictments like this previously. The Trump administration was prolific in indicting Chinese hackers and blaming them for this kind of intellectual property theft, which, you know, estimates have said could cost the United States government, you know, billions and billions of dollars. So in a sense, this is not hugely new in terms of what this indictment is showing, but it is sort of a hodgepodge of hacking activity from the last decade, and saying that China is responsible. And it's really an attempt to, I think, reiterate just how bad this problem is and that it is, in many cases, ongoing.
Has China commented on any of this?
The Chinese embassy in Washington did not respond about the statements against them today, but historically, Beijing has denied U.S. and Western allegations of cyber attacks.
How does the Biden administration's response to this hacking incident fit into its overall stance on China?
Certainly, I think the calculation around China is dramatically different than it is around Russia for the Biden administration. And to be clear, this is not a problem unique to the Biden administration. Previous administrations of both parties really have sort of struggled with the rising China and sort of how powerful they are on the global stage, economically and militarily and so forth. Russia is much more isolated, and so punishing them, calling them out, sanctioning them for malicious cyber activity is a far easier thing to do than it is when you think about doing it against China and sort of all the intricacies around doing so, given just everything involved with the raft of issues, you know, from trade to national security to climate change that the Biden administration has to consider when they think about working with Beijing. You know, the Biden administration has said that they want to do that on a number of the issues, that they really do want to have a partnership with Beijing. The Obama administration, of course, also wanted to sort of have a working relationship with China. But this is all just proving that, you know, it is a difficult task to do that, and they're going to have to find a way to sort of try to work with China in the issues where there is agreement, perhaps like climate change, while also being forceful in areas where China continues to pose a problem.
Wall Street Journal cybersecurity reporter Dustin Volz. Dustin, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And finally, you may be familiar with Zoom fatigue, but now remote workers are dealing with another headache, never-ending check-ins. People's calendars are getting swamped with work meetings. There's the 25-minute catch-ups with clients, quick chats with your manager, and the meeting to prep for the meeting. You're not imagining it. Research shows that even though the length of meetings is getting shorter, they're multiplying. Our Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinzig says the return to the office isn't necessarily going to solve the problem.
Some people think that when we go back to the office, especially if we go back 5 days a week, we might return to kind of those more efficient in-person check-ins where you don't have to schedule something on your calendar. You're just swiveling your chair. You're running into someone by the coffee machine. And that kind of might reduce the need for us to have these just deluged calendars. But then there's also the idea that if we go back in a hybrid setup that, you know, could be even messier. We could have more meetings because you have both those in-person interactions and then you continue to have interactions over Zoom with people who aren't in the office that day.
And that's What's News for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.